Take your Bible, please. Matthew chapter 13, the story of the sower and the seed. I want to remind you that seed is always the same. It's the Word of God. It never changes. Sower, of course, is God tells us that we're supposed to be at His business. And His business is winning the lost to Jesus Christ at any cost. And I pray today that we would be sowers of the Word of God. The sower is designed to attend by God the ordinance of preaching. What is? The answer, of course, is always salvation. If a person does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God says that he will be doomed in eternity for hell, never get out. And what a sobering thought. I heard a preacher say one time, he says, you ever preach on hell, you make sure you have a tear in your eye, because the sadness and the heartache is going to be for people who never want to hear about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, look into the Word of God in such a way that our hearts would be changed and turned to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in verse 18, hear ye the parable of the sower. The scripture says, listen to it. Listen very careful. Study it. Check it out. See what it's all about. There is the seed that falls on the wayside. Now, there's a few, then there's the seed that falls, same seed, remember, the seed falls on this stony ground. And then there's the seed that falls in the ground where it's good soil, but unfortunately the tares, the weeds, have already started. They're ahead of that growth, and it stunts and withers and takes the nutrients from the soil and takes the moisture from the soil. And the good seed is dead. And then, of course, there's the good ground. Amen. There's the good ground. Boy, we're looking for that. We're looking for that. And I hope today that you'd see some of these things. The means of becoming interested in this salvation are also declared here. He said, lest they should believe. Says, in other words, to be saved. The hindrance with many occurs in the very offset. No sooner the Word of God is spoken. The Bible said, then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. You and I know that the Satan, he is out there trying to get us. He's out there to take away from the seed of the Word. Boy, if you can get the Word, the seed of the Word, to a man, then he can accept Christ as his personal Savior. And he receives Christ as his Lord. That changes his life. He'll completely change his life. And of course, we all want people to do that. And we want them to make sure that they maybe 30-fold or 60-fold or 100-fold, once they get saved, their lives are completely changed. I don't know about you, but yesterday I was outside for a little bit, and I noticed that some of my flowers had, they're dead. But they're not only dead, but they're dried up. And as a good little old farm boy, I grew up in a farm, I thought, you know what, I'm going to collect some of those seeds. And I went into I went to those seeds, and I had one pot on my back porch, a pretty good size, and it's got some huge flowers in it. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take a plastic bag, and I'm going to take those seeds out of it. And I was amazed, as I've been studying this all week, I was amazed how just one little seed, I pulled out over 100 seeds out of that one seed. That's an incredible thing. I brushed off all the flower that was left, and then inside it there's a kind of like I'd call it a bud like, and I started peeling away, and there they were. There's the seeds, and hundreds of seeds in that one little one. And I stood there and I thought, you know, it is an incredible thing. Here I plant one little seed. I mean, it doesn't even look like a seed. This, you know, flowers, you know, they have seeds that don't look like seeds. Now, going on the farm, we have wheat, and I know what wheat looks like. Amen. I know that a bushel of wheat is 60 pounds. That's how much you get out of a bushel of wheat, 60 pounds. If you have a bushel and you fill it up, it's 60 pounds up to a bushel, amen. And I think soybeans are like 56 pounds to a bushel. Now, I was thinking about that, and I thought, man, here's this little flower that it doesn't even look like a seed. But I know it's a seed because this is what I planted before. And it's an amazing thing how it all happens, you know. They can't figure it out. The scientists, they can't figure it out. The botanists, they go in there with those microscopes and man, they're looking at it and they can't figure out how in the world that little seed grows. Because some of the stuff in there is the food for it, amen. And then there's the germ, and they can't figure out where the germ is, amen. But all of a sudden, if they leave it alone without pulling it apart, it'll grow. That's like most people, you know, you're always trying to pull stuff apart and things don't grow, amen. But I thought, man, oh man, isn't it incredible, the seeds. The seeds that have, and so I went through all my garden and my flower garden. I was pulling out seeds, and my neighbor said, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm preaching this sermon tomorrow, and I got excited about seeds. I even went in the internet, and I went in there, and I was kind of interested about wheat, and they were telling about how it germinates, and they can't figure out the difference between the germinating and the food, and there's just it's still a mystery to them. Yeah, I got a wonderful God who's the creator, and he spoke it into existence, amen. It's an incredible thing. Well, who else would know how to talk about the seed and the sower but the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of this universe? He's the one that talked about where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Boy, I tell you what, he could talk about sowing pretty good, amen. He could talk about seeds. And he did. And he said, listen, he said, there's the first that come on, we would call the farmers, call it the headlands. I don't know if you call that out here in Montana, but that's where you turn your vehicle around and head back. And we always call them the headlands. You come up the headland and turn around, and you're always packing that down, always packing that down, packing it down. And many times used to be that the headland didn't grow as nice as the regular field because you'd packed it down pretty good. And the Bible says, Jesus said in this parable, he says there was a sower that sowed the seeds. And he sowed it in on that ground, and it was hard. And it wasn't able to get into the comforter, you might call it, get into the bed, the seed bed. And it stayed there, and what did it do? The birds came and grabbed it. Boy, there's a lot of people today, they'll hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they say, that's not for me. A lot of them say, that's too easy. A lot of them say, that's just a crutch. People use a crutch, you know, they need something to get them through this life. They use God for God. Well, you leave me alone, amen. I want that crutch. I want the strength of the Lord God, amen, in my life. And there's a lot of people that just turn their heads. They say, we don't want nothing to do with God's Word. You've met them. I've met them this week. I've talked to them. And then, nah, it's not for me. I don't need that. Well, that's the ground that they are. By the way, all the ground is our fault. All the ground is our fault. The seed is the Word of God. The seed does not change. The sower can be any of us that sow the Word of God. And tell people, we take a track out and we invite people to read about Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. And the Bible says, realize that we're not perfect. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, you know what? I'm sowing the seed. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Brother, I'm sowing the seed. I'm sowing the seed. The Bible says, all of us are sinners. None of us are righteous. It's only by the gift of God that we receive Jesus Christ, the personal Savior. That's sowing the seed. Amen. And by the way, it's not about the sower. It's about the seed. It's about Jesus Christ. Some of the Bible says they fell on the rock. The success or failure of this hindrance is owing not to Satan, though his power is fearfully great, but to ourselves. Upon the rock, it is a class of hearers in whom there is some appearance of believing in the gospel. Further, the ascent is not cold or involuntary, but it's warm, lively, appreciative. They received the word with joy, the Bible said. Yeah, that's good. That sounds good to me. Amen. I like that. And then others fell among the thorns. This class of persons seemed to have his conscience touched. And in a certain sense, permanently touched by the solemns verified by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a change has been wrought upon them. And what they have felt, they heard it, and they said, "Yeah, that's good. Let's take it." And but unfortunately, things happen in their lives that stunt their growth, and all of a sudden they just never make it. I like the one on the good ground. The superiority of this class consists of the difference of the soil. Here is an honest and a good heart. Difference is the reception given the seed sown, and it is the word of salvation, it's honest and good heart, having heard the word, the Bible says, and keeps it. There's a difference in the growth also where the seed falls upon the honest and the good heart. It germinates, not hastily, or where neither root nor moisture is found, not irregularly, and amidst the perpetual resistance of the thorny cares and deceitful riches and ensnaring pressures that choke it, but it patiently progresses uniformly. I don't know about you, but I can't wait till spring comes. I like fall, love fall, but I like spring. Boy, that's when we'd have all the tractors ready and all the drills ready to get ready to plant our seeds. And Dad get out there, I'd get out there with a plow and a disc and drag and make it. My dad says, you gotta have a good place to plant those seeds. It's gotta be a good seed bed, he'd call it. And he's passionate about that. My dad was really passionate about having a good seed bed. Boy, today you see these guys planting right over, they don't even, that minimum till drives me crazy. I understand it. I understand it. It keeps from all the wonderful soil blowing away. But they come in there and plant right over what they had planted before. I don't understand it. It works. I'm down in Minnesota and this guy said, "We haven't plowed this field in I forget how many years." And I thought, man, oh man, how in the world is it? But boy, they sure get good soybeans, sure good corn crop, amen. So I guess they know what they're talking about. And he said, what it is, they keep the trash. He called it the trash on their own. That also absorbs the moisture and things like that. Well, here's a man in the scriptures, the Bible talks about that he is a sower of a seed and the seed of the Word of God. And there's some that get it. They get it. You're sitting out here today. Many of you got it. You say, you know what? That's what I want. That's what I need in my life. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to live within my heart. And because we understand what we have got, we understand the blessings that come upon us, we want to go and tell others about Jesus Christ. This is a little flower that yesterday I pulled the flower off and dusted off all that flower, and there that seed was. I opened it up. That's a beautiful illustration. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not just supposed to bloom, but we're also supposed to go to seed. Some of you are pretty seedy, amen. We're supposed to go to seed. So next year, I got these little cups, and I put this soil in it, and I put one in each of them, and then I put some, make sure the fertilizer is there with it, and then I put some water on it, and then I get it in the sunlight, and all of a sudden, two little feeder leaves come up, and I say, "Hey, how are you?" And they said, "We're fine." I says, "Man, that's pretty cool." All I did is added dirt and water. My dad would get after me if I called it dirt. He said, "That's not dirt, boy. That's on your face. This is soil. This is soil." And so, I look at that and I said, "I can't imagine." I took that little seed and I put it in that little cup with soil
Got it right that time. And a little fertilizer. And a little water. And all of a sudden, there they come. It isn't long. And something else comes up. That old stem jumps up. It isn't a little long, and the leaves start coming on it. And it isn't very long, and about early May, and there's a little bud. And you say, hey, bud, how are you? And I'm doing fine. I can't wait to show how pretty I am to God. I'm going to glorify God in this. And all of a sudden, they come. You know, that's really, as a Christian, that's what we're supposed to do. We're kind of a seedy bunch of people, amen? That's what we're supposed to be. And we're supposed to take that seed that we have, that's grown up in our hearts, and we're supposed to come to our neighbors and to our friends and co-workers and family and say, you know what? I found something that changed my life completely. I was a sinner, and you know I was a sinner. You know I was a rascal. You know I was a lying thief. You know my heart was not right. But you know what? I got some seed. I got a seed from the Word of God. And the Word of God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it changed my heart and changed my life. It changed me. Now you know that I'm not perfect. Well, you follow me around an hour and a half. You find out I'm not perfect. I'll follow you around a day and I'll find out you got some problems too. Amen. Yeah. We're not perfect. But I will tell you something. I got the seed in my heart. But not only do I have the seed, but I have the potential of winning 30, maybe 60, or maybe 100. And those people, when they get the seed, they have the potential of maybe 30 and maybe winning 60 and maybe winning 100. God never intended you to keep that seed to yourself. God intended you to sow the seed with gladness and joy. You know, if you had an opportunity today and someone gave you something and said, now, I'm going to give you this. Here's $1 million. It's all yours. I want you to keep it. How many would be up for that? Don't lie to me. I'll be the first in line. But he said, you know what? You cannot have that $1 million until you give these other $2 million away. I'll guarantee you. Now, I know there's a lot of skeptics out in this world. But you say, here's a note for $1 million. A man gave me $1 million, but I can't have my $1 million until you can have the $1 million. Will you accept this? And you'd say, oh, goody, goody, gumdrops, yep, 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 I'll take it. Thank you very much. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. Can you imagine what the worth to a man when he received Jesus Christ as his first Savior? The Bible says that man, when he received Jesus Christ, he becomes a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I remember when my grandmother passed away and I was one of the heirs. Not what you do in baseball when you drop the ball, error. Heir. Not the stuff you got on your hair with head or wish you had on your head. Heir. And my grandma's lawyer wrote me a check out of my grandmother's money and gave that to me. I was heir of my Gaga. She didn't want to be called grandma because that made her sound too old. She died at 99. 2 months before she gave 100, and she said, I will not be put on the Today Show. I'm dying before that. You said, well, this is substantial. Hey, buddy, $2 is substantial to me, man. It wasn't very much, but praise the Lord, it was something I got because of her, not because of what I did, because of what she did. And the Bible says when a man accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he becomes joint heirs with Jesus Christ. How much
gold you think is in this world. Scientists say that if you take 5,000 parts of ocean water, there's one part gold in there. 75% of our world is water. I'll take some of that gold, amen? Let me tell you something. God makes, Jesus makes the heaven streets of gold. That's asphalt, folks. That's cement. He makes it out of gold. That's my Father. That's how much He has. He makes the foundations of heaven out of precious stones. Wow. And He said, it's all mine. There's nothing I'll ever want. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm a wanter. So are you wanters. You want some things. You need some things in your life. And David said, hey, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I have every care of mine taken. You say, but preacher, I'm having a difficult time in this world. Yeah, of course we are. All of us. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Of course all of us have a trouble. This is a time of testing and trials of life. The psalmist says our life is full of testing and trials. Job said that the trials of this life are like the sparks that come up from the fire. Yeah, we have troubles. This is not our home. This world was perfect in that Adam and Eve did not do what God's holy word said. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Man never died, had to die before then. But died, and the Bible says that death has passed upon all men for all have sinned. Every one of us in our DNA has a thing called death. We will die. Not one of us is going to make it out of here alive. Not one of us. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ tells old Gabriel to lick his lips and blow that trumpet, amen. I heard a guy said the Lord is coming back so soon. He said, the way I read the news is like reading Ezekiel and reading the last of Matthew, like reading Revelation, all the things that are going on. Boy, God's got to come back, amen. One guy said, yes, I feel it. Every time I hear a horn honk, I jump, amen. The Lord's coming back. Yes, He is. But let me ask you this. Have you accepted the seed of salvation? Has there been a point in your life that, you know what, I know I'm a sinner, and because I've sinned, I owe a terrible price. That price is death and hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And the only way I can go to heaven, Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, alas, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. He told that to the disciples. Jesus said over to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Has there been a time that you've accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior? About a month ago, we had a preacher named Bobby Brown that came to our church. He said something I thought was very, very amazing. He said, how many remember where you were at 9/11? I remember when President Kennedy was assassinated. How many remember where you were when? Well, we all remember that days. I remember where you were when you got married. Or when you asked her for the first time, will you marry me? And the second time, and the third time. And finally she said, I've had enough. I said, okay, let's get married. But anyway, how many remember that? We also go, well, that's the way salvation is. Salvation is the greatest thing that happened. I remember I was 14 years old. I was at Southside Baptist Church at East Lansing, Michigan. I was at a youth conference. Over 2,000 kids were there. I remember sitting next to my mother who thought I was saved. Finally, the Spirit of God split my heart wide open. And I realized this troubled teenage boy was in trouble. And I needed salvation. I'll never forget that day in my life. That was the greatest day of my life. I remember it. I believe with all my heart right there where I was sitting. That's when I got saved, when I realized I needed Christ. Listen, do you remember that day that you got saved? You remember? You say, well, I don't remember the date. I don't either. I wish I did. It was in April 1961. Man, that's a long time ago. How many weren't even born then? That's what I thought, you poor people. I remember that day I got saved. Let me ask you this. Has there been a time in your life that you've accepted Christ, the personal Savior, and you know it? I'm not saying you live perfect. In fact, John said, he that saith he does not sin, he makes him a liar. Truth is not in him. We know that. 1 John 1:9 was put in the book for Christians. It wasn't put in the book for the sinners. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, come and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It was put there, 1 John 1:9. It was put there for us. We understand we're sinners. We understand that we fail. That's why we have a God in heaven that we can come to and say, dear God, I have sinned. Lord, this is what I did, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he forgives us immediately. All of our sins, he says. That's talking about Christians. So, of course, we do not live a perfect life. But I'll tell you what, when we don't, we sure feel pretty bad about it, amen? The Spirit of God gets in there and roughs us up and shakes us and says, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Listen to me now. I pray that today there's a time in your life to receive Jesus Christ. You would not be like the one that the seed, the Word of God, the seed was sown and Satan came and took it up. I would to God that you would not be the one that was that got excited about it and said, yeah, that's what I want. And then all of a sudden just wilted away. Or the one that got excited and said, boy, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden the cares of this world, the work and the temptations and the problems and the money and the all the things that get in our way that suck away the strength from us. I would to God that you were on that good ground, that you'd bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. I'm trying to figure out. I'm still working on it. I'm trying to figure out. I got out some things, and I'm trying to think. I said, no. I remember when I was a kid that there's a farmer that had a 640 acres, which is a mile by mile by mile by mile square. I remember they had that. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I brought it down to an acre. And I was trying to figure out the acre. And how much an acre is. How many rods that acre was. And then I tried to figure out if you planted, and the ranch, the farmers, they can figure this out now. The most incredible thing. They can tell you exactly to almost to the seed now. How much they plant in an acre of ground. Most incredible thing. And then what happens is, and this is what blew my mind, what happens is that little flower that I had growing up my patio, that little flower produced over 100 seeds. If you planted that flower in 1 acre, how many, oh my goodness, how many bushels? I know one time my farm, I had corn. I had 191 bushel acre on that corn. Brother, happy day, happy day. That's a good crop, amen. And that's dry land farming. That's not with irrigation, man. It's just putting it out there and let God take care of it, amen. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about, amen. And that's what we as Christians, hold them in the back, but we as Christians are supposed to be like that. We are supposed to bear fruit. Let me ask you the question.
In the closing of the statement, how close have you got to bearing 30 seeds? How many people have you sowed the seed and you've seen 60 seeds? And how many have sowed and sowed 100 seeds? I remember that sower, he was throwing as much seed out on the headlands and in the stony ground and in where the weeds are compared to the good ground. He sowed the same. I don't know about you, but I've sowed a lot of seeds that hit the headlands, the place where the equipment traffics. I sowed a lot of seeds where they just growed up and gone. I've seen a lot of people come into Heritage Baptist Church and hear the gospel and walk the aisle and get saved, and that's good, and that's what we're supposed to do, amen. But all of a sudden, within a couple weeks or a couple months, they're gone like a vapor. And I've seen some that get saved, and it just seems like they can't get away from that, those thorny things. Can't get away from the weeds. Can't get away from the trash in the field. Just seem like they just cannot shake it. But then there's some that grow up and really want to serve God. I don't know about you, but boy, that's the side I want to be in. All right. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us, Lord, to be faithful hearers. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do what the Scripture teaches us to do. Lord, I pray you'd bless now. Lord, I pray that anyone here today, they'd like to receive the seed today. They said, I want to receive. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Lord, I pray today would be that day. Lord, I pray those who've just kind of got going a little bit, and then they just wilted away. Oh, God, I pray you'd call them to the good ground. Lord, I pray for those who got caught in the cares of life, the things that suck the energy and the moisture away from them for serving God. The idols of this world that have caused them to quit and go away and never return. I pray today that they'd return. And Lord God, I pray for those who are in good ground, Lord, that we'd keep on going, that we wouldn't be a statistic, that we would get the 30s and the 60s and the 100s, and we'd tell them about you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today, and you are not sure you're saved. You're not sure you have a home in heaven. That today would be that day that you say, today I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Today I want the Lord to be my Savior today. Why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle. I'll meet you in the front. You're today and say, preacher, today I want Jesus to be my Savior. Why don't you come at this time? And say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Hey, why don't you come right now and take care of that today? Here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. I need to do that. Why don't you come? Why don't you come and be faithful to the Lord? Maybe here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God. Why don't you come at this time? Father, we come to you today. We thank you for what you've given to us. We thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. Oh, God, I pray that we would keep our ground from having rocks and stones in it. It's all pounded down, Lord. Help us to keep having the Word of God that we may refurbish and restore that seedbed. Lord, help us to get rid of the things that take away from us, take away from the desire to serve you. Our time that we spent praying to you and reading your scriptures and cultivating this land, oh God, I pray you'd help us to get rid of the weeds and get rid of the things that would keep us from growing and expanding and be able to bring forth 30, maybe 60, maybe 100 fold. Oh God, I pray you'd help us to be that way for you. Bless this time now, Lord God, keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just wait a minute, if there's some boys and girls here that have need to go outside to the pumpkins, you may go right now. Maybe your parents need to go out there. Anyway, you're dismissed.